Welcome to Under the Abbey Stand. I'm Jack Swindlehurst, and we're at the business end of things now, and it all seems very real. Cambridge United have five games left this season in their quest to gain automatic promotion to League One. After a pretty good Easter weekend, the Ewes were brought back down to earth with a bump and were hammered by Exeter on Saturday. Joining me today are Jordan Warland. Hello.
If I can find the unmute button. Hello, everyone.
Welcome. Tom Walker, hello.
Hello. Already had it unmuted.
Good stuff. And welcome, Owen Kiernan.
Hi, mate. I'm muted too. We're ready to go.
We're primed and ready. I think we're past the point of saying we would have taken this at the start of the season. Cambridge have justified being where they are on the table. And before we go to the disappointment of the 4-1 drubbing to Exeter, let's go back to the Easter weekend, which was a relative success, I think, really, from a Cambridge United point of view. Starting on the Friday with a close game against Morecambe, but a victory nonetheless, Jordan. And that was a good way to start the Easter weekend.
Yeah, you're absolutely right that it was a terrific Easter weekend for us, not just because we picked up four brilliant points against not just playoff contenders, but automatic contenders in the shape of Morecambe and Tranmere. Some very good performances, especially first half against Morecambe. But I think the real victory from the Easter weekend was we picked up 4 points, where those around us didn't do particularly great in terms of picking up points themselves. I think, you know what, Tranmere picked up just 1 point. I think, you know, Bolton again, only sort of 1 point. So yeah, it was a really good weekend, not just what we did ourselves, but others helping us. The Morecambe game itself, first half was terrific, wasn't it? With some really impressive attacking play. Deserved to go in at halftime leading. And it felt thereafter that it could turn into maybe sort of history repeating, and it'd be like the Forest Green and Carlisle game, and the second half would be incredibly tight, and that happened. And I guess fair play to Morecambe, because that only really happened with them sort of going for it after having a player sent off. So yeah, it was a nervy second half. I think we were fortunate to get a penalty ourselves. Others may disagree with me, and obviously it was a penalty save from Burton again, which kept us in it. So yeah, a difficult game, but I think we did enough over the 90 to deserve the 3 points. And yeah, Morecambe, a position would be not have to play them again.
Yeah, not a pleasant watch towards the end, was it? I think deservedly get ourselves ahead at a really important time in the game, managed to go 2-0 up. And then from there, you'd like to think after, you know, with them down to 10 minutes, it's sort of plain sailing. But it was anything but that. Probably got a bit of credit to Morecambe there. Really sort of forced the issue to get into a position in the game where realistically they can probably be a little bit disappointed not to take anything out of it, especially sort of in that situation where they are 2-0 down. But we find a way, just like we've done so many times, particularly recently. It obviously helps when you've got a striker like Mullin, who has been in such incredible form. And, you know, we obviously talked about the Paul Mullin stand, managed to get his first goal in front of that in that game. And then obviously, thankfully, scored a penalty, which is probably not a guarantee, as it probably should be. Over some weeks. So yeah, just at this stage of the season, it's so important just to get the job done and just find a way. And full credit to the players, because they really hung on in those sort of last stages. And whereas the Forest Green game that we talked about before, where we won 1-0, we were probably pretty comfortable hanging on. It was anything but against Morecambe. But a really good win, and one of those that, you know, touch wood, probably put them in a position where they're going to really struggle to catch us now. So that's another team that hopefully it's one less to worry about. And obviously with the results on obviously Easter Monday, and then obviously going on to the Exeter game, it's good to have less people to worry about, isn't it?
It's interesting that Easter weekend and the contrast in the Paul Mullin penalties, where the Morecambe one was terrific. He absolutely levered it, bottom corner. Even called the keeper out, like the keeper was, I think, gesturing to put it that way. And he put it right in the corner, no chance of getting it. Then fast forward to Monday, where quite literally I could have saved that sort of P-roller down the middle that he smacked in against against Tranmere. But yeah, full credit for, I think, not just Mullin, but a couple of other of our players were sort of following that in and quite sort of tucked away the rebound.
Yeah, probably too many were following it in, to be fair. I think if it was anyone but Mullin that had got on the end of it,
yeah,
there might have been a bit of a call for a retake, because there are a few of our players in the box there, to be fair, at Tranmere. And probably one of the more controversial decisions that we've seen. sort of penalties for us has been a lot to pick from, but that's probably the one that would raise the most eyebrows, I guess. But I think I'd said on the previous show that we'd done that I couldn't help think about a situation, but where we came out of that Easter weekend 7 points clear, and that's exactly what we did. So credit to them. And two really tough games going to Tranmere without Houlihan, who, you know, the form with and without, it's stark contrast. And they managed to go to a tough ground, really, you know, Prenton Park, and obviously a decent team in Tranmere. Obviously they've got their own issues at the moment. You know, Vaughan's obviously injured potentially for the rest of the season. The captain's out for the rest of the season, the goalkeeper. And obviously Spearing went off with a pretty nasty looking knock as well. So they've got some problems which might not help them pick up the sort of points that they might need for the rest of the season. But nevertheless, it's obviously always a tough game, and it's a game that getting the points out of could be really, really vital come the end of the season. So, a really good Easter weekend and all, and one that looked like it might be a bit more difficult than what it proved to be.
Is it fair to say, do you think, that Tranmere are the only real challenger for the other automatic spot amongst, as well as ourselves, or do you think Morecambe and potentially Forest Green are still going to possibly get out there?
Well, I think it's three of us for two spots, isn't it? So Tranmere, Bolton and ourselves. I think Cheltenham are probably all but there, really. You know, they've got the game in hand. I can't remember how many points clear of us now. I think maybe 1 point. But yeah, with the game in hand, I think they've got enough in the tank. It's interesting, isn't it? Because Forest Green, like, at the time we were saying that was a good result, beating them 1-0, but you look at their current form, they've absolutely tanked. I think they're four defeats on the trot now, a draw before that. Newport down in seventh, their form isn't great. I think just one win in the last five. So no one's really like putting in that kind of crazy form that makes you think, oh, that's a dangerous team and that's a challenging team. You know, even Bolton are sort of, they're still winning, but they're not sort of on that incredible run that they were. I think we've probably, like Tom was saying, because we beat Morecambe, because we beat Forest Green, I think we've got enough sort of on the board to perhaps discount them as our sort of biggest challenges, our main challenges. I think it's the three that we mentioned, Bolton, Tranmere and ourselves, for two spots. And Tuesday night is a huge, huge night. We don't play, but the others make up their games in hand. So I guess, you know, come, you know, 10 o'clock on Tuesday night, we'll have a much better picture of just how close it could be between the three of us.
I guess it's, yeah, quite, as well, our goal difference is superb. Best out of anyone other than Exeter in the league. You know, 20 goal difference plus 20. I think all the other playoff challenges are in single figures. So, you know, if it does come down to that goal difference, that'd be sweet, wouldn't it? Keeping Bolton out of the automatics on goal difference after total football against us.
It's obviously a bit cliche, but it really is. It really is worth an extra point, isn't it? When it sort of gets to this edge of this, when it gets to this end of the season, I think we're probably probably agreed that it probably is those three. So us, Bolton and Tranmere, probably going for those last two spots. Cheltenham look pretty assured. They're a very consistent team, so you'd like to think that, well, you'd think anyway, that they've got enough in the tank. I think when you look at Forest Green particularly, they're obviously 9 points behind us at the moment. Well, they've only picked up 8 points in the last 10 games, so I find it difficult to believe that they're suddenly going to go from that to a run of form over the last six that's going to catch us, even if potentially we didn't pick up another point. So I think we can, you know, count them out of the running. And, you know, I'd say similar things about Morecambe. And then, you know, Tranmere, I think, are the ones that I'd be looking at as the ones to beat. I think Bolton have probably got enough to sort of get over the line. We've got a very good squad. They're an extremely good run of form since sort of Christmas time. And, you know, a very expensively assembled squad. And we've seen firsthand the sort of football team they can be at their best. So I think I'd like to think that the top three might remain as it is. But, you know, it's going to be a difficult run in. But, yeah, games like Saturday make it a bit more nervy, don't they?
Yeah. Bolton, interestingly, have quite a tough run in. They play Salford. That's their game in hand on Tuesday night. I know Salford aren't as great as many had tipped them to be this season, but they've got a really good home record and Bolton have got to go there. But then I think they've also got to play Carlisle, whose form has picked up since we beat them. Then they play Morecambe and Exeter as well. So they've got a difficult run in, arguably more difficult than ours. Not that ours is straightforward at all. So it's going to be an interesting couple of weeks, just sort of seeing, keeping an eye on like everyone else as we go through sort of get match days.
Yeah, just to play devil's advocate a little bit, if Newport win their game in hand and then win against Cambridge the next weekend, suddenly they'll pull themselves back into, I don't know, you know, they could be kind of there or thereabouts. And if you get that team that has the last, you know, that last six game run that can change your season, they might be something to worry about. But yeah, we're going to look ahead to those games and see who's got what later on. But I suppose we should give it the attention it's due. A 4-1 drubbing at home to Exeter. And I was surprised to hear when we were talking before the pod that Tom Walker wasn't as outraged as I maybe anticipated him being after having seen him after Cambridge get spanked. It wasn't the reaction I was expecting. So Tom, not as bad as maybe the scoreline suggests.
Well, I wouldn't say that. I mean, I thought, you know, the 4-1 didn't flatter Exeter. So I'm not saying that the performance wasn't disappointing. It absolutely was. You know, to have so many players put in below par performances at once is obviously always disappointing. And it's obviously not something that you want to see, particularly at this stage of the season with the position that we're in. But I think just taking it in the context of the season, and you can't just write off games because we're doing well and, you know, we didn't expect to be here, so losing's not important, all that sort of stuff. But I just felt it was just one of those things that sometimes happens in football. First of all, we're playing Exeter. They're a good team. I think, you know, if it wasn't for a couple of injuries earlier in the season, sort of key players, they'd probably be well in with a shout of automatic promotion. As it is, it's probably damaged their chance of that a little bit. Jay and Bowman up front are an excellent partnership. They've got players like Jake Taylor in midfield who are very good. They've got a very rugged, strong defence. They're the only team in the league that have scored more than us, I believe, as well. So they're very, very good at going forward. And, you know, to all intents and purposes, they're a team that I would rate as being as good as anybody in this division, especially when they play like they did on Saturday. So that's obviously the first thing. And then the other thing is that, you know, you've got to be realistic. We're going to lose games at some point. I think the run that we've been on in the last sort of 6 weeks has been phenomenal, and it's put us in a real position, you know, where promotion's in our hands. And let's not forget, you know, look back to sort of the end of February, start of March. That very much wasn't the case. We were sort of 1 point clear. Other teams had two, maybe three games in hand, and we've got it to a position where, at worst, come the end of Tuesday night, we're going to be 3 points clear with a much better goal difference. So, you know, you've got to take a bit of context into this. And I think the mentality and an interview that Bonner gave after the game was very, very reassuring. He was very honest, very open, as he always is, that it wasn't good enough. And we obviously do need to show, obviously, the confidence to do better, and that it's just one of those games you've just got to put behind you, unfortunately. You know, if we put that performance in against any team in the league, we're likely to lose the game. But it just so happened that it came against a team who can punish you, and that there were mistakes. I think the second goal, particularly, Burton should do better on, and the defending wasn't great. Second, you know, first, definitely for the third goal, and you know, the first one's just, we've not started properly. So there's obviously things to be looked at there, but I don't see this as like an overriding theme. Anything to get too worried about at this stage of the season. I know, you know, there's maybe some talk that we should be really looking over our shoulders coming into the end of the season. Obviously, I appreciate that, but I think, you know, we talk about Tranmere, for example. Their fans are going to be saying exactly the same thing about their team. You know, their form over the last five or six games has been very poor as well. Like, I don't see this as being something to get worried about, essentially. So, yeah, the performance on the day, very, very disappointing. Obviously, the result's not great at all, but we were just beaten by a better team who put in better performances all, you know, kind of all over the pitch. And at this level, with how tight it is, not just in terms of the league table, but in terms of the difference in quality in the squads, that's just going to happen. So I just got to take the L and move on, I think.
Yeah, I don't want to make too many excuses, but it's almost kind of a little bit refreshing to kind of get that bad performance out of the way and get that defeat out of the way so that you can come back more focused and in the right headspace to attack the next five games. And yeah, it's like Tom was saying, it's all about perspective, really. Like, it was obviously a very poor performance bar sort of 10-15 minutes at the start of the second half, where you could make a good case to say that we were unlucky not to get a second goal. We definitely carved out some great opportunities, and, you know, one or two better decisions or better finishes probably would have seen us get level. And, you know, it's easy to pick out poor performances from yesterday, specifically those like Burton, Taylor and Okadina. But in reality, the full 11 were all off the pace, weren't they? But yeah, it is perspective, because I guess if you first looked at this run of six games that we were talking about and we were bigging out before we sort of got to them, if you would have said, you know, before we started those, that you would get to game five before you just suffer your first defeat and you would have 10 points on the board, you'd absolutely take that. Like, you'd snap someone's arm off of that, because, you know, 10 points from 12 is promotion form. And I guess the big achievement over these recent games has allowed us a little bit of breathing space that should we pick up a defeat, it's not the end of the world. And I guess the big point that I would say then is that going into the next, or the remaining five games, as it were, is it's very much still in our own hands, and we've got a big say in how our season finishes, which is a huge achievement. Having said that, I do think there were some big issues from yesterday that Bonner needs to have a think about and address ahead of Newport away. And, you know, Tom was right to praise Exeter. They're a very, very good team. The word being clinical. They found spaces and opportunities that Carlisle, Tranmere and Morecambe also found, but they had the players like Bowman and Jay to tuck away those chances. So we won't come up, hopefully, against many teams with strike forces like that. But I think Maynard is at Newport these days, and there's Norris at Stevenage. So it's not going to be plain sailing the next few games. So yeah, there's plenty there for Bonner to think about.
Absolutely. It was interesting to say about that 11 kind of being used so regularly now. And Jono, regular contributor to the podcast, got in touch with a question saying, did playing the same 11 or so players for the last five or six games catch up with us against Exeter, both physically and mentally? And does the reluctance to change it mean more than keeping a winning team? He's kind of, you know, does Mark Bonner fully trust the players to get the job done? So I suppose that's almost like a different question, but it's an interesting one. Owen, what do you think?
Yeah, I mean, I think, you know, these boys have played a lot of football, haven't they, this season? You know, a lot of, we play with quite a high intensity as well. You know, we've had some very nervy endings to games that, you know, I know we felt as fans, and, you know, I'm sure the players must feel that too. I'm sure it must kind of weigh on them mentally a little bit. I mean, does it mean Bonner's reluctant to change it? I don't know, because he doesn't really have much choice, does he? We've got a very settled first 11, and it's pretty much our strongest first 11. You can change the odd player here and there. You could maybe look at dropping one of the centre-backs out for Drysdale. You could maybe look at dropping one of the, you know, one of the midfielders out for Hannon or May. But, you know, other than that, we've, you know, Harvey Nibbs is injured, so, you know, we don't really have any options up front. You know, there's no real option to cover right back. Goalkeeper's injured. So, I mean, we've just got a small squad, and, you know, we've got to work with what we got, I suppose. So, yeah, I mean, you know, I think Bonner does trust his squad. He trusts his first 11. I don't know if that necessarily means he doesn't trust the likes of Nibs and Davis because, you know, they have had a bit of game time here and there. But, you know, for the most part of the season, we've been winning, and you don't change a winning team, really, do you? It's, you know, it's kind of football rule number one is if you're winning, if you're doing well, keep going.
Yeah, I'll probably go along with that. I can see where the suggestion comes from, but I think ultimately the team stayed the same because they've been doing so well. And the other part of that is like, what do you do instead? Do you you drop Houlihan? You leave Mullin on the bench? I don't know. Like the players that are playing because they're playing very well, and that's just sort of what it's like for a team of this ability. You know, we're not in the sort of luxury that Bolton might have, for example, where if they can drop, you know, one of their centre mids, they can bring on like a Marcus Maddison or something like that. Like, we're just not going to have someone like that on the bench. That's just kind of where we're at as a club, and it's served us well this season. And I don't think there's any real reason to suggest that it wouldn't continue to do so for the next five games. And I think statistically, particularly off the back of one loss, would be a real mistake. Actually, I think the one thing that would worry me a little bit is that I think the sort of one theme that's come up time and time again, and came up a little bit against Exeter, like three at times, is that we really struggled against that, and we have all seasons. That's one area where teams might have worked us out a little bit. And I think Newport have been playing like that as well. So, but obviously, that's a challenge that we're going to have to struggle. You know, we're going to have to deal with. And in that scenario, it might be a case of setting things up a bit differently. We obviously relied on the diamond quite heavily since obviously Wes sort of first took that position just behind the strikers. I think it was just after Christmas on Boxing Day against Leighton Orient, wasn't it? And that's where maybe he's just going to have to earn his money a little bit. But you know, I've got no reason to doubt that he'll find a way of doing that. So yeah, it's not something that worries me particularly. Players are going to be tired this season. Our players are tired. Everyone else's players will be tired. You know, they've been playing pretty relentlessly Saturday. So, you know, 9 months. That's going to take its toll at some point. So, yeah, if players are tired at the end of games, I don't think it's because of Bonner's reluctance to change things. I think that's just because of where they're at.
Yeah, it's hard for me to disagree with what the lads have said there. I don't think we lost against Exeter because we're playing the same 11 or anything to do with a lack of trust. I think you could make a case that we looked a bit sluggish and there were points where we were just sort of slow getting forward to support Wes and Boateng at times. But yeah, I think our downfall was, you know, clangers at the back and good finishing from Exeter. I guess we saw yesterday a stark difference between managers. Like we've said throughout the whole season that Bonner is quite slow to change things and make subs, and I think yesterday that was another example where perhaps he left it too late, maybe should have changed it, you know, at half time or definitely when it went down to 3-1. Whereas if you look at the Exeter manager, when we had them properly under the cosh and we'd just scored, he made, two or three changes, changed the formation, and that completely, you know, impacted the game massively. And they got a third goal. I know there was a little bit of fortune in there, but that basically just swung the momentum back away from us and really swung the game in the end. So it would be, I don't think Bonner doesn't change his starting 11 or he makes subs late in the game because of trust. I think it's more he has sort of faith in his game plan and that the team will execute the changes they talked about at halftime. And, you know, we saw it yesterday, a really bright second half start just goes to show that he has got this ability to sort of change things throughout the game, which we've seen quite a few times throughout the season. But yeah, I think there might be some changes ahead of Newport, specifically around, yeah, the way we set up. And perhaps the diamond doesn't offer as much support for the defence as we need. So perhaps there might be something there for him to change.
I mean, my biggest concern with it, I guess, I think, you know, it was one of those days yesterday, Saturday, so, you know, everyone just had a bad day. It's Okadina had a particularly bad game, I think. And I know he's been singled out for some really, really, really harsh criticism on the United message board, which I think is unfair because he's been brilliant most of the games this season. But I think Exeter strikers were very similar to the strikers at Salford, which is another game he struggled in. So, you know, maybe against those, you know, he's a young guy, isn't he? He's, you know, 20, 21 years old, you know, maybe against those wily old strikers, he does struggle a bit and, you know, needs a little bit more support. And, you know, when that support comes from, you know, it probably doesn't come from Noyle as much as we'd like to, because he's, you know, quite often a little bit further up the pitch, but, you know, it kind of comes from Taylor, and that, you know, that leaves a man free there. So, I mean, if I was, you know, I know Newport, again, have got wily old strikers, you know, they got Kevin Ellison, probably the wiliest, oldest striker in all of football, you know. So would you bring in Drysdale for Newport? I don't know. Does Ocadine deserve to be dropped? I don't think so. I think he's been really, really good this season. He's generally calm, generally composed. But yeah, he does seem to struggle against those kind of older bully kind of guys, doesn't he?
Well, you got another name for you, Henderson at Salford. A very experienced striker, gave him a rotten off evening, didn't he? Yeah, I think there's something in it for Bono to have a think about, because yeah, there are some experienced strikers coming up in the next handful of games for our opponents. I think the diamond, when it works really, really well for us, and you know, for the most part of the season, it has worked for us. But there are occasions where it does kind of leave our centre backs quite exposed, specifically because you're asking Noyle and Iredale or Dunk, whoever's playing at fullback, to essentially become a wing back and push forward. Tom mentions that we've struggled against teams that do three at the back and have wing backs, and we've, you know, it's absolutely spot on. It kind of sort of limits us going forward in that way. But when we can push them forward, it does leave the other two quite exposed. So perhaps that's something to consider sort of shoring up or tightening up against when you're sort of going into games that might be a little bit tighter.
Yeah, that's absolutely fair enough. I think I couldn't really disagree with too much of what the Kaiser said, but I'll just go back to what Owen mentioned about the thread on the message board about Ocadina. it's a good read, isn't it, that message board? There was someone on there who claimed that a top football agent had told him Ocadina never had a good game. Never. Which is obviously complete bollocks, because he's had about four or five since he's been with us. So, interesting.
Isn't he, as well? You
know, yeah, I mean...
Someone sees something in him. I think he's decent. I think he's decent. He's just young, isn't he? You know?
I think it's just a classic example of just getting a bit carried away, which is like the last thing that's needed at this stage of the season. I know it's only a small thing, you know, a thread on an internet message board that ultimately nobody really cares about, but, you know, it's going to happen sometimes. And I think with someone like Ocadina, it strikes me that he's the kind of style of player that's going to deliver very, very high quality performances. But when he's not playing well, he's really not playing well. So that might happen now and again. But yeah, hopefully it's out of the way now. I don't think there's, you know, anything really wrong with the way that he plays. And there might be a question mark about whether Drysdale could come in. I don't think there was anything necessarily wrong with the way that he was playing either. But yeah, I think it might be a case of maybe just tweaking the way that we set up more than anything, more than any sort of really essential personnel changes. But yeah, we'll see what happens. But you know, I'm sure we'll come on to talk about the Newport game later on and sort of the games that are coming up. But yeah, I don't think there's any reason to sort of fear these games.
Yeah, we've quite well inadvertently answered a question sent in by Joe about the abysmal defensive display and whether it's going to have an effect on the rest of the season. But I feel like really everyone's kind of covered that. And yeah, yesterday happened, but hopefully looking forward, it can be more positive for Cambridge and yeah, not too much fatigue. Coming up in the second part, we'll look ahead to the last five crucial games of the season. We'll answer the rest of your questions and clear up everything else Cambridge United. Welcome back to Under the Abbey Stand. Coming up in this part two, we're going to look ahead to five of the biggest games in Cambridge United's history in the 21st century, I would I'd wager to say. And it's quite exciting times looking forward. We've had a great question in, actually, to start this part off from Russell Greaves. And he asked, if you were told we would only get six more points this season, would you rest easy knowing that that will be enough? Starting with you, Tom, what's your answer?
I wouldn't rest easy, to be honest. I'd be absolutely shitting myself if that was the case. And obviously it depends in the games that we get them, because obviously if we were to win the next two, for example, and lost the rest, it'd be really, really nervy. But I think realistically, two more wins should do it. I think, so obviously we're 6 points clear of Tranmere. So six more wins would mean they need to get 13, with obviously goal difference to catch us. Tranmere's form over the past sort of, you know, look at like the last five games, for example, it doesn't indicate a team who are suddenly going to go and get 13 points from their last six. That's as clear as I can put it. You know, look at, you know, if you take the last five games in isolation, they've got 4 points from those. They're missing their best striker. They're missing their captain. They're missing one of the best midfielders in the league in Jay Spearing. I wouldn't like us to just get 6 points. I'd like us to get a few more than that. I think three wins would guarantee it, all but guarantee it. But I think probably it should do it, but it wouldn't be fun. It would not be pleasant.
I don't think you can ever rest easy as a Cambridge fan. I would be in a similar situation to Tom Walker in terms of changing my underwear quite frequently if we were to only get six more points for the rest of the season. I can see an argument and a case to say that it would be enough given who plays each other, current form and so forth. But yeah, I definitely wouldn't rest easy. I think like the average since we've been back in the Football League for people to go up is around the 80, 81 point sort of mark. I do think the nature of the league this season, with how close it is and the fact that no one has really pulled off or like pulled away in like the first or second positions, I think that will all equal and it will probably be a score of below 80, 81 to get that third place, maybe even second place. So If we were to win three more games, I definitely can't see us not going up. It would take a huge, huge swing in results for people to catch us if we were to get to sort of 80 points or whatever it is that we would get to. You would need people to sort of, I don't know, I think Tranmere would need to go on and win sort of six from six or something like that just to catch us. So I don't think two wins necessarily wouldn't get us up, but I wouldn't rest easy. I've got a nagging doubt in my mind that perhaps we might not pick up a win in the next two games and it might make the last three of the season be really nervy and quite sort of pressured feeling. But I hope the boys prove me wrong at Newport on Saturday. Yeah.
This is it, isn't it? This is the very nature of being a Cambridge fan, in that, you know, we've done superbly this season. We're second in the league. You know, we're in this automatic promotion hunt, which, you know, is a place we've not been in, certainly in league football, for, you know, over 20 years. And yet I'm looking at those last five games and I'm thinking, can I pick three wins out of there? Can I pick two? I mean, you'd like to think we'd beat Grimsby. They're on terrible form, but they might be utterly fighting for their lives. You know, if they need a win to stay up, you know, you can never put it past a team to do that, you know, when against all odds. Harrogate, again, you know, they're not doing great. I, you know, we beat him already. I'd like to think we can beat him again. Stevenage, you'd like to think we could beat Stevenage, but we never do we? I mean, I'm sure someone will have stats saying we did
that Stevenage. Terrific, terrific run of form since Christmas as well, Stevenage. They were bottom two, I think, going into Christmas. And look at them now. Yeah. They are miles clear of danger.
Yeah, they're totally safe, aren't they? But, you know, they just, I just think they're a bogey team. A bit like Exeter, you know, we never seem to beat Exeter. Never seem to beat Stevenage. Orient away, maybe. Newport, again, you know, tough games. I don't know. But then again, on our day, we can beat any of those teams quite convincingly. I think we beat all of them, bar Stevenage, this season. So, yeah, I think we'll get the wins we need, but I couldn't predict where they're going to come from in any of those five games.
Yeah, Grimsby's the one that sort of jumps out of the page at you, isn't it? But obviously, that's the last day of the season, so you'd like not to be relying on that. I don't think they're going to be fighting for their lives. I think they're going to be long gone by that time. Certainly, if the game that they played on Saturday at Tranmere's anything to go by.
And then there's Colchester, massive points deduction, but everyone's rumoured to be talking about.
Yeah, well, allegedly, the chairman released one statement denying it, and then a second one a few hours later clarifying he was denying it, but in a slightly more professional way.
Saying he nutted someone, didn't he? Or didn't nut someone the other day, so they just seem like a fucking basket case right now.
Yeah, well, speaking of nutting someone, obviously the Grimsby forward, Stephen Payne, headbutted his own teammate at half-time, was sent off in the tunnel, so they look like a team that in theory should be there for the taking when we play against them. But, you know, we've all been following Cambridge long enough now to know it's not always as straightforward as it seems. We shouldn't fear going to Newport, to be honest. You know, their form's not been great either. And I think the thing that we have to, you know, understand as well is that teams will look at us going to their place or them coming to the Abbey and they'll think, you know, this is a real test. This is a real, really difficult game. Several of our players are among the best or the best in their position in the league. We just shouldn't fear these games. It should almost be a challenge to the players. How early can you do it? How convincingly can you win promotion? That should be the feeling. That should be what they're thinking about, rather than, oh shit, what happens if we drop points here? Let's look over our shoulders a little bit. And that's when the pressure really does start to get to you a little bit, and pressure does funny things to people. So I'm not as sure as I was at the full-time whistle on Bank Holiday Monday after we got that point at Tranmere that we were definitely going to do it. But I don't think a great deal has changed realistically. So we should still be pretty confident that we're in a good enough position and we're good enough to get the remaining points that we need. So, yeah, we'll see. But it's, yeah, like you say, George, it's certainly not going to be something pleasant watching.
Certainly interesting to see how difficult Cambridge United make it for the fan base if it does go down to that last day of the season at Grimsby. That's got egg in your face written all over it.
Who are you going to be cheering on that last day, Jack?
Get in the bin, mate. Like, I'm Cambridge through and through. I've only been in the away end once. Moving swiftly on, talking of that away end, the Paul Mullin stand, as it's been named until the end of the season. Tom, you were actually lucky enough on journalistic duties to be in the ground yesterday. Tom Dobbin's been in touch and he says he thinks you might be a curse and questions whether you should ever be allowed in. But just give us a little insight into what it was like there. Obviously, with no fans and seeing your team get pasted is never good. But yeah, what was it like at the ground yesterday?
Well, firstly, obviously very thankful for the opportunity. Me and Julian, who's obviously not present, were allowed in on official UTASH duty. It's a very, very weird atmosphere in the ground. Obviously, you know, a decent proportion of our fan base will have had the chance to go on a couple of occasions this year. You know, lucky, I guess, you know, a lot of people haven't had the chance to do that around the country. So even on a reduced capacity, it's very, very strange. But when there's nobody there, it's you certainly notice things that you don't notice when there's fans there. The amount of abuse that the referee gets from the players is absolutely phenomenal. Like Digby, there was about a 4 or 5 minute sort of running argument that he's having with the ref throughout the pitch. It was quite entertaining to see. But yeah, I mean, my record of going this year, I've been 4 times, seen us lose 3 times, seen us win once, and that's against Colchester. We just about scraped that. So I'm not, I feel a little bit responsible, actually. I was talking about with Julian on the way back. I feel a little bit responsible for obviously the result against Exeter. So I do apologise. But yeah, good to be there. But I'll tell you what, I can't wait for it to be full again. That's one thing for sure.
Yeah, it's interesting. Now we mentioned that Ian Mather came out yesterday and kind of highlighted the fact that we were kind of all umming and ahhing about whether maybe the last game of the season would have fans or, you know, like a test event. But he said in his interview pretty clearly yesterday, he thinks it's very unlikely that any fans will be back this season, but they're trying to prep for next season for, you know, full capacity or, you know, as many as they'd normally have with COVID proof, potentially that might be just what they have to do. But I'm imagining, you know, that's, it's not just a proof of vaccine, it's just negative tests, which I think are quite easily easy to come by. So yeah, I mean, it could be a load of really angry fans coming to watch League Two football after an absolute capitulation, or it could be seeing Cambridge United in League One. Looking at the games then, Jordan, and if I had to like challenge you, where do you see the points coming from that are going to get Cambridge over the line? So we've got Newport at home, Newport away, Leighton Orient away, Stevenage at home, Harrogate away, and then last game of the season is Grimsby down the Abbey. Where do you see those points coming from?
Probably see us winning four on the bounce again and maybe drawing against Grimsby on the last day. That would be nice, wouldn't it? Our season so far this year, with the exception of, I think it was early December, late November, early December, where I think we went five without a win, has been pretty stable. Bonner's had a way of getting a reaction after defeats. So I'm confident going into the Newport game. They're going to play midweek and we don't. We've not had many reverses of that this season, but the one that we have was the Mansfield game, and we just looked so confident and so much better, not only having that extra rest, but having that extra time on the training field to work on some things. And I think the team need that. So going into Newport, like Tom said, there's nothing to fear there apart from the really shit pitch. Is that going to disrupt your Houlihans and your Boatengs knocking it around in lovely little triangles? Maybe. I'm not ruling out getting points away to Newport. And then the rest of the games, like you can make, like Owen was saying, it's hard to call, but you can make arguments either way. Leighton Orient away a couple of weeks ago, I would have said, oh, that's a real banana skin. They're flying and they're on sort of good run of form and may even be an outside bet for the very last playoff spot. But they've slowed down a little bit. When we play Harrogate, they've got the FA Trophy final a few days after that game, so they might have one eye on that, and you know, perhaps they will see our game as a bit of a dead rubber. Grimsby, no idea what kind of Grimsby team are going to show up on the last day of the season. Are they going to be playing for pride because they're already relegated, or will they have something to play for? So, and yeah, Stevenage, I just assure would love to beat us in their little fake local derby that they've made up. They would absolutely love to beat us. So it's, I wouldn't want to say for sure where the points would come from, but I feel pretty confident that it won't be a case of having to go into the very last game needing a win. So hopefully I'm proven right. But yeah, I think there's plenty to learn from the Exeter game on Saturday, and I'm hoping that Bonner will put it right.
Absolutely. Certainly interesting to see how those games go. And yeah, like you say, it hopefully won't have to get to Grimsby. We should probably give a little bit of attention to the fact that Forest Green today have just decided to part company with their manager, Mark Cooper, I guess hoping to get a new manager in and get that new manager bounce to try and challenge for the automatic places. But interesting timing, Tom.
Yeah. I saw an article today written just after they've been promoted from the conference. The owner, Dale Vince, said it'd be easy to get promoted out of League Two. It doesn't always go, I think, does it? They've been awful recently. It's probably not as much of a surprise as it was, to be honest, or it shouldn't have been as much of a surprise that he's gone. They've probably been a bit unfortunate, though, Forest Green. They lost a couple of players in January. I think Winchester, big midfielder for those guys, went to Sunderland. And then obviously they lost Jamil Matt, who was banging in the goals up until a very, very strange hand injury. It's one of those that if you're a bit squeamish, I wouldn't look at it, because I had a look at it and it nearly made me vomit, but it was very early on a Saturday morning, so that can happen. But yeah, they're... they're what I feel like we would be like if we were to drop out of the top three. Do you know what I mean? One of those teams, sort of archetypal, drop into the playoffs after being up there all season, and then it just sort of collapses. So let's not be though. Let's not be Forest Green. Be more like Cheltenham. It's a huge decision to make at this time of the season, though. Don't often see that. Thought they might stick with it until the end of the season and maybe reassess. Imagine if we sat Bonner after yesterday. it's a sort of knee jerk reaction that I can really get behind.
Well, Southend had just done it as well, haven't they? Just sat their manager and bought back the very flamboyantly dressed Phil Brown.
Flamboyant is one word for it. He's wearing a cravat. Southend, mate. You're not the Savoy. Just leave it. You love to see it, don't you? Phil Brown back in there. He'd love to be singing on the pitch again come the end of the season, wouldn't he? Get him back in.
Yeah, it's quite pleasant to not really have looked at that end of the table this season. You know, usually by this point, obviously, Cambridge United are secure in about 13th place. But there has been a couple of seasons back in the Football League where we've had to look over our shoulder. But now, finally, this has been the season where we haven't had any, you know, kind of worries about the bottom half of the table. So it's quite refreshing, but still the stresses of supporting a football team have certainly come with that, being at the top. And yesterday, Saturday's game against Exeter, I did feel that horrible disappointment you feel when your team gets spanked, and I just felt like it was all going wrong. But fingers crossed, that was a blip and Cambridge can get back to it. We'll be back with you, actually, I think weekly mini pods until the end of the season, and then the big promotion pod, fingers crossed. But yeah, we'll be back with you. Jordan Warland, thank you.
Yeah, thanks, Jack. You said the P word. I hope that's not cursed it. Tom Walker's going to be livid at you. But yeah, thank you. Thanks, everyone.
I've got no right to be livid at anyone. I think if anyone was jinxing, I think it was me going to the game on Saturday. But I'm probably not going to do that again, to be honest. I think it'll be iFollow in my living room for me the rest of the season until
Peter.
Yeah.
Owen Kiernan, thank you.
I'm not saying anything. Cheers.